Remaker's Mark, Episode 32, Smokey and the Bandit. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in Episode 32, where we are discussing Smokey and the Bandit. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite car chase movie?
Vroom!
I'm great.
Good.
Favorite car chase movie, I'm going to go with Ronin.
Ooh, nice.
Damn it! The alphabet strikes again!
We're going to go backwards one of these times.
I know, I'm just going to come back to bite me.
But not today!
You'll get yours. Jeremy Nilsson, back to you. How are you doing, and what is your favorite car chase movie?
I was a lot better 13 seconds ago. My second favorite car chase movie is probably, I don't even know, stupid Andy.
I just gave you one.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Ronin 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Nice. I haven't seen that one. It must have been straight to video.
It's not good,
terrible.
But it has pretty much a shot-for-shot remake of Ronin's car chase.
Just using RC cars?
More or less, yep.
Okay, got it. Lee Hammerdown, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite car chase movie?
I'm great, and it's not really a car. It's, in fact, it is absolutely not a car chase movie, but it's a chase movie, and that is Run Lola Run.
Ooh.
Nice.
I'll accept that. That's a good call.
I like
I'll
that
totally
one a lot.
Get that. Yeah, that's a great movie. I haven't seen that in a long time. That'd be a good one to revisit one of these days.
I think so.
Nice. Good one. Mark Josting, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite car chase movie?
I'm tired, thank you. And my favorite car chase movie, I'm going to say Blues Brothers.
Oh, that's a great pick.
That's a good one.
Nice. Thank you.
Dang it!
Oh, Jer, you'll get yours one of these days.
This is why you always come to the podcast with a backup option.
That's right, or three.
Or three.
Yeah. Nice. Well, my name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host once again this fine evening. And for my favorite car chase movie, I got to go with Bullet. It's kind of the standard against which movies have been measured from a car chase side of things for a long time. Plus, it's just badass. It's just a badass movie. That's Steve McQueen, man. He works some magic. All right. So before we move on to our discussion of Smokey and the Bandit, I want to just give a quick heads up. I don't know if anybody out there would like to record a podcast like we do here. Now, again, it doesn't have to be this type of podcast, really any kind of podcast. If you want to do it, I am here to help. Hi, I'm Kyle. I'm reading an ad about myself, and it's weird, but that's okay. I have set up a consulting service. If you go to mathishard.net and look under consulting, I am here to help you. Now I'm using my helping hands and you just can't see it because this is an audio podcast. Yes, I understand the medium. I know you can't see it.
Clearly qualified to consult.
Exactly. Clearly qualified to consult. It'll be different when we talk in person. So yeah, if you want to record a podcast, if you've ever been curious about it, you want to talk through some ideas or options, hit me up. The contact information is on there and I would love to help you. I think about podcasts all the time. I talk about podcasts all the time. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world. I love making them and I would love to help you make them too. So hit me up. All right, now that I got past that weirdness of talking about myself, I'm going to talk about something different, namely mustaches, to start
with. Yes.
Yes. So, Andy, why don't you tell us about a summary of the film that we are discussing tonight, Smokey and the Bandit, and our history with it as well.
Happy to. Smokey and the Bandit was a 1977 film directed by the incomparable Hal Needham. I say incomparable, incomparable, because if you've ever seen a movie, let's say from the 60s to the 90s that had a stunt, he was probably involved in it.
Yep.
And I've actually heard him interviewed and he was hilarious and he sounded like a fantastic guy. I'm a big fan. Anyhow, he directed this. The plot of the movie is secondary to the stars of the film, but for the sake of thoroughness, it involves a pair of bootleggers running Coors Beer. That's right, Coors Beer, from Texas to Georgia, which was illegal, I guess, in the 70s. They are challenged to complete the task in 28 short hours, which they say has never been done. But a quick Google Map search shows that a route from Atlanta to Texarkana is only 660 miles long and takes 10 hours one way. So, see my point about the plot being secondary.
Good thing they didn't have Google Maps then.
The speed limit was way shorter back then.
It was 30 the whole way.
And they were only driving 110. Along the way, they pick up a runaway bride, jump some bridges in a wicked T-top Firebird, and Jerry Reed. The dulcet tones of Jerry Reed serenade us beautifully throughout the movie.
Yep. Eastbound and Down.
Man, oh man. We're big fans. Yep. We're big fans.
Yeah.
Jer, I believe this movie was your selection. Do tell.
Yes, it was. And I picked it because it is in kind of a nice big clump of movies from that late 70s, early 80s era that we used to watch as kids. My cousins and I used to watch on TV whenever they came up. This one and Longest Yard and Cannonball Run and all those sort of doofy Burt Reynolds classics that were around. But the reason I picked it for the podcast is way back before the podcast even began, I worked with a very good friend of mine named Paul. And to pass the time in our office, we would brainstorm and recast Smokey and the Bandit. So we were basically part of the origin story of Remaker's Mark, or maybe a prequel to Remaker's Mark.
You were our Prometheus.
Oh, no.
You were our Phantom Menace.
First Ronin. I hate.
You are Jar Jar.
Let's call it a parallel universe. How about that?
We call you Jer Jer from now
on. I can't
on.
Hear you guys anymore. I'm leaving.
Jer, come back. It's going to be okay. We'll get through this.
Anyway, we casted the entire thing over the course of several weeks of talking randomly throughout the day, and I think we had a pretty good job. And in the second episode, when we talk about feedback, I know Paul has given a lot of it, so we'll probably go with that as well. But it's just one of those easy, fun movies to watch, and we enjoyed talking about how these unique characters could be recast today, and that's why I picked it.
Good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any history, any thoughts, opinions?
I include this in the long list of films that I saw that I first originally only ever saw the TV version of. That includes things like Caddyshack, Revenge of the Nerds, Vacation, things like that, where I thought the TV version was funny, but man, seeing the real version was capital F funny. That's all.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen the whole movie until we watched it this time. I feel like I've seen the whole thing in pieces, but never the whole shebang. So I was very, very excited and laughed my booty off, which we will talk about along the way.
And this is one of those great movies from that era that was on TV all the time and was censored prolifically to make it okay for TV. And I think the other one that comes to mind besides this one is probably The Breakfast Club, that was changed to the point of hilarity when they chose what words they were going to replace the profane words with. This one is the Sheriff Justice's constant name of some bitch. Can I say that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I just did. On TV, it was switched to scumbum.
I like it.
And so
I remember that. I remember that now.
Scumbum.
Scumbum.
I'm going to start calling you guys that.
Aww. Scumbum.
We'll know what you really mean.
No, you won't. All right, so that is a summary of the movie and our history with it. Now, as usual, we are going to recast the movie in this, our first part of the discussion. So we have three major characters and five minor characters, one of which is a little unorthodox, but you'll see when we get there. The first major character is that of Sheriff Buford T. Justice. Mark, tell us about Sheriff Justice.
Okie dokie. Sheriff Buford T. Justice is a distinguished officer with over 30 years seniority, one of the most highly respected law enforcement agents in the United States of America. At least that's what he says of himself, and in a not very respectable tone of voice.
Nobody walks out on a pretty wooden eye set up. I'm gonna get that girl set up a thin street. She insulted my town. She insulted my son.
Look, what if we...
Shut up! She insulted my authority.
Yeah.
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism. Happens in...
Originally portrayed by Jackie Gleason, Sheriff Justice is very loud and very self-assured, and, well, yeah, just yells a lot. Seems very, very confident in the crimes which he's accusing of Bandit, none of which really seem that justified. And it, yeah, don't really include bootlegging. But anyway, this role must have been just a blast for Jackie Gleason to play. It's very exaggerated, and gets to deliver a lot of snappy little quick lines. And to recast it, I really wanted somebody that was just a top-notch comedian and could bluster with the best of them. So I picked Tom Hanks.
Oh, ooh, nice. I like that. Out of left field.
Going A-list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some serious bluster opportunity there. Bluster-tunity? Think about that.
Bluster-tunity.
Yeah. I could see him, you know, maybe putting on like a little bit of a fat suit and just kind of sticking his belly out a little bit. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's gold. So yeah, that's my pick for Sheriff Buford T. Justice is Tom Hanks. Kyle, how about you?
Well, I wanted to do something a little bit different. I did like Jackie Gleason's performance. I don't know why. It wasn't a bad performance. It was just a lot. And so much so that it was almost like, as much as I laughed, it was kind of hard to take at the same time. I don't know. It was right on that edge of too over the top, though. Yeah, I knew I knew he was doing exactly what he was being told to do and what he was kind of supposed to do, I guess. I don't know. So I don't hold it against Jackie Gleason. I just think it's a pretty rough character. And we're going to talk about this in the second half about how offensive this movie is and how differently offensive we should make it. And so we'll kind of get there. But one thing that I wanted to change is he's a pretty, I don't know, not overtly racist, but very sexist and pretty racist. So I wanted to flip that on its side a little bit. So I chose Eddie Murphy for this.
Oh, wow.
And I would like him to be just as racist and sexist as he was in the original. So again, we'll probably change the tone of that a little bit. But I think having someone that is of color say the things that he says and acts the way that he does, I think would be really interesting and really, really funny. And yeah. I mean, Eddie can spit it like few can, as he has proven in his whole career. He hasn't done much of late of that. So I think having him again and just like a down and out, just, you know, dirty, mean, funny role, like not at all family like, would be awesome. I think he would fit in very well there. And I can see him ordering people around, ordering Junior around.
Would he also play Junior? Because I think that he doesn't do movies anymore unless he plays multiple parts.
Well, if it's like the only way we'll get him, I'd allow it, but I'd prefer not. I think we can find a better I think we can find a better Junior than Eddie Other. I don't know, Eddie Prime. I don't know how to refer to him. Other Eddie. Yeah. But yes, I think for Buford T. Justice, I think he would be magnificent.
I think it would be funny to hear him throughout the movie accusing everybody else of being racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would want to hold on to a lot of those lines, and I just think it would be delivered in a totally different and really fresh and pretty hilarious way with him portraying it. So yeah, Eddie Murphy. Andy, how about you? Who did you pick for Buford?
Michael Keaton.
No BS. Just dive right in there.
This is what it is. Deal with it. Michael Keaton. You want to get nuts?
I do like that.
I like it.
I would like to see Michael Keaton, I don't think a fat suit, but I think letting himself go, you know, for 6 months leading up to this movie.
Because he was in prime shape for Birdman.
Yeah, I think that he can get crazy, and I think he has comedic chops. So
in spades.
In spades. So yeah, Michael Keaton just won the pick. Thank you very much.
That's good. He definitely bring an edge that the original didn't have, like the scene where he confronts, where it's kind of the rookie highway patrolman that has pulled him over, and he said he can't keep driving in that car, and he keeps like tapping him in the chest and just yelling at him, and then says F off to him while the car horn honks. Like that scene with Michael Keaton would be kind of terrifying in a really good way.
I would like to have a little more of, because it seems to me, and let me know if I misread this plot point. I'm making air quotes when I say that. So Buford T. Justice was chasing after Frog because she ran away from the wedding with Buford T. Justice's son, Junior. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was kind of a pride thing. And then it just kind of happened to shift his aim over towards Bandit. So taking that kind of insult to family pride thing even farther and getting a little bit, you know, loose cannon, losing grips on reality, you know, white knuckling the steering wheel and things like that. I think they'd be good.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
I agree.
Lee, who you got?
Well, I think I need to call an audible on this one. I originally had sent Kyle my pick earlier today, but thinking about it a little bit more, thinking about the character and how inappropriate and arrogant and racist and sexist and all that stuff that he is, I came up with someone else who I think would be a better fit for the part, and I'm going with Jason Alexander.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Little man syndrome.
Oh, in the world did he replace?
Oh, that's so great.
You want to know who my original was?
I do want to know.
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, wow.
That's good, but Jason Alexander is extraordinary.
Yes.
Oh, man.
What has he been doing lately? Does he even...
I think he does some stand-up. He's been doing some of that.
He was doing a lot of live theater for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. But outside of that, I don't think he's been has had any like television or movie projects.
Yeah, not much.
Now is the time.
Yep, this will be the revival of that. But,
wow.
You know, just awesome. Thinking of like George Costanza and then his despicable character in Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those are good references.
Man, that is a great pick. Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
Good audible.
And I think just the physical size, I think no matter who you would pick for anyone else, just because he is a shorter individual, that just kind of lends even more comedy to his bluster.
I think so, yeah.
Bluster-tunity.
There it is. See how nicely it fits?
That's brilliant. TM that right there.
I'm on it. Once it's published, it's mine. So
nice.
That's right. I think that's how that works.
You share that with us,
it
right,
is actually.
Right?
Yes, that's right. Good thing I'm a copyright lawyer.
It's the internet. We all are.
Exactly.
So, moving on to Jer. Who do you have?
Yes, indeed. Well, it seems as though our Buford T. Justices have all come from or reside in left field. And I'm going to out left field all of you. And I chose Michael Parks. He's a lifelong actor. He's been in the movie since the 60s, but he has most recently been best buds with Kevin Smith and...
Tarantino
and Rodriguez. And I would channel mostly his character from the Kill Bill movies and the Grindhouse movies, Earl McGraw. He played the sheriff in Kill Bill 1, and also from Dusk Till Dawn and both of the two Grindhouse features. Just kind of a comic relief character, but a hard-nosed but somewhat bumbling sheriff. And I just think he's got amazing acting chops, and he could pull off a terrifying sheriff and keep the comedy a little less cartoony than Jackie Gleason did. Maybe not channel so much Fred Flintstone and do it a little bit more straight. And I would love to see that. And I think he's a great actor. I think he as Esteban in Kill Bill 2 was one of my favorite parts of that movie. And yeah.
So unsettling.
Ugh. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I just think he can just pull off just about anything, and I would love to see him pull his Earl McGraw sheriff Texas Ranger, make it a little bit dopier and but keep a lot of that same intensity and bring that into the comedy world. It'd be great.
He is very much a chameleon, and I think he's a very like underrated character actor.
For sure.
Yeah, I'd agree. I would have a hard time seeing him fill Jackie Gleason's shoes, but it doesn't mean that I don't think he can't. It's just so different, such a different tone than that.
And that's what I want. I don't want him to try to be, like I said, Fred Flintstone again. I want it to be more of a straight comedy than a goofy slapsticky comedy.
Yeah. Yep. I think he would definitely do that. Nice. Man, those were some left field picks. Good work, everybody. So for Sheriff Buford T. Justice, originally played by Jackie Gleason, Mark went with Tom Hanks. I went with Eddie Murphy. Andy went with Michael Keaton. Lee, in an audible, went with Jason Alexander. And Jer went with Michael Parks. Up next is Carrie. Lee, tell us about Carrie.
Played by a very young-looking Sally Field. While running away from an arranged wedding, Carrie crosses paths with Beau at just the right time. Eventually, this friendship, out of necessity, blossoms into a love affair, no matter what the age difference.
What are you doing?
These are my shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And these are my legs.
Yeah? What are you going to do with them?
With the shoes or the legs?
Last time I saw legs like that, they had a message tied to them.
What do you mean? These are great little legs. I'm a professional.
Well, in that case, you shouldn't be dressed in white.
Dancer.
Oh. Oh, cowboys love fat calves.
They're not fat.
They're bigger than mine.
Do we really want to talk about legs?
Well, one of us does. Otherwise, we're
smart ass.
The thing that stuck out for me with Sally Field's portrayal is that she played her very strong. She wasn't, you know, a typical damsel in distress. She, you know, kind of came from a place of strength. You know, it was kind of brave of her to run away from this, even though she really didn't have any place to go or anybody to trust. So I wanted someone who, you know, is no stranger to that type of role. So I went with Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, nice. Oh,
very nice.
Because I think she has the strength and the attitude in spades.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, me too. She does a combination of sweet and feisty as well as anybody out there. And that's perfect for this role. Yep.
I think so too.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really good pick. I like Sally Field's performance a lot. I think it's sort of, it could have been really one note, and I think she added a lot of notes to that. You know, it's not like crazy fancy or anything, but I just think it was really solid, and I think she did a really good job of, you know, being tough when she needed to be tough, being vulnerable when she was vulnerable in the original. So, yeah, I think Elizabeth would do very well with that.
Yeah, I think it was kind of strange seeing Sally Field in this role because I'm so used to seeing the latter part of her career and just haven't seen a lot of her earlier work. So it was strange and a little unsettling to see her so young and, like, I guess feisty.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
But moving on to Jer.
Yeah. I was looking for the same kind of, like Kyle said, sweet and feisty. The character really just kind of goes from 0 to 100, just like a firebird would. I mean, she's kind of, all of a sudden she's there and immediately it's just trading barbs with Bandit as equals and just kind of back and forth banter with them. There isn't any build up or anything. It's just straight into that relationship and those that witty comeback back and forth and dialogue. So I was going for somebody that would be able to keep up with a tight dialogue like that, and also just be kind of the cute and feisty girl, but also is going to be able to hold her own as far as acting goes and as far as comedy goes. I went with Anna Faris, who I like an awful lot.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
I would go with not blonde Anna Faris, but with dark haired Anna Faris from the Scary Movie series, which that's a terrible reference point for her, but go with that.
But she was not blonde in half of those.
She was not blonde. I just think she's a really great comedic actress. I saw her not too long ago in, I think it's called Coming Home or Homecoming with, I probably should have had my notes for it. I'm sorry, it's called Just Friends, where she plays kind of ditzy actress that is hanging out with Ryan Reynolds, and Ryan Reynolds is kind of her publicist. But yeah, she, and that's several years old, but she's had a lot of great comedic roles, and I just think she's got great wit and timing to how she speaks.
Yeah, she gives everything to her roles, and I love that. Like, she is not afraid to act and or look dumb, but she never looks dumb in a way that you know she's not playing it, I guess. I don't know. Like, she balances that as well as anybody out there. You know, she's not afraid to be kind of like just silly and weird and goofy, and the movies are so much better for her willingness to go to those lengths. And I think it'd be great in this.
I loved her voice acting in the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs series. There's two of them that she's been in, but
she's the girlfriend in it. Yeah,
yeah, she's Sam Sparks, the weather girl.
Yeah, good reference.
Yeah, it's not live acting, but even just her voice acting, it's just a great. She's got just a great comedic tempo and timing to it.
Totally.
Yep. I just finally found a picture of her not blonde. And she looks, I mean, there's quite a few blonde pictures, but she looks completely different. I would not have recognized her.
Yeah.
And I don't want that bleach blonde California look. I would want the Sally Field look, this kind of homespun, cute as a button, girl next door, Gidget sort of look. Oh, Gidget.
Gidget. Nice.
I think you mean Geely.
Sally Field was Gidget, wasn't she?
Yes.
I'm remembering that, right?
I think so. Gidget. I think you're remembering right. Gijay.
All right. I'm going to stop talking now and pass the baton to Mark.
Oh, thank you all. I didn't really intellectualize this pick.
Can't wait for this one.
Part of it was because I've been just destroyed at work lately, and I did my casting at, like, I don't know, 5 o'clock today. And I just kind of went with the face that popped into my head right away. But I really like that face a lot. It happens to be Karen Gillan's.
Ooh, that is a good face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
That is a face. I agree.
Feisty, fun, silly. Yep.
Yeah, we, of course, know her from... I'm going to go with what you should know her from, and that's Doctor Who.
Yep.
But you should also know her from Guardians of the Galaxy, where she's bald and blue and a total badass. yeah, and... she also has a sitcom on these days, I believe, but I think I just take that as proof that she can do an American accent.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that sitcom did very well, unfortunately, but probably not her fault.
Yeah,
she's
probably
a great
not.
Actress. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my pick, Karen Gillan for an adorable redhead as Carrie. Kyle, who is your pick?
Well, I went with someone who is not as young as Sally Field was, but I think can look and act in a way that is both sort of sweet and feisty, as we talked about. It's funny because I don't know why I went with this, but I was like, you know, she talked about being a dancer in the original, so I'm going to stick to that. So I wanted to find an actress who used to be a dancer. And there's actually quite a few, lots of names from which to pick for that. I thought maybe like Zoe Saldana, that would be interesting, you know, Natalie Portman. But the one that I ultimately landed on is Keri Russell. You would know her from Felicity and a Mission Impossible movie, I think, yeah. Most recently, the one that is sort of a point that I noted here, and I've only watched one episode, but it's been great so far, is The Americans. It's an FX series.
I do want to see that.
It's really good. It's on Amazon streaming.
Nice.
And I won't say anything about her character, but she is basically kind of a double agent sort of thing, and I won't say anything more than that. But so she, you know, has to put on a very sweet motherly face, and then it turns out that she's a total badass behind that. So I think both of those things would come out very, very well in this, in Smokey and the Bandit. So yeah, Keri Russell.
I'm going to sound my umbrage horn.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Yes. What is your hmm?
Only for age reasons. She
that
is
also my umbrage.
Thank you, Mark. I believe the term is seconded. She's 39 now, and not to say that that is old, but I think for this particular role, and I think especially when I'm going to use your reference against you, Kyle, because I agree, she's fantastic in that show. It's a great role, but it's she's a like a mother and a like a, she's a the, her character is at a stage of life that is much older and beyond that of Frog, and I think that's Keri Russell 15 years ago. Like, you know, Felicity, circa Felicity, would have been perfect for this role. But I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I was a little creeped out by Sally Field and Burt Reynolds. I mean, Burt Reynolds went from, like, I think 19 to 34 in a month. You know what I mean? Like, he never...
It's the mustache, man.
It's totally the mustache. You're absolutely right. So I was like, I wanted it to balance a little bit more. So the actor and actress that I chose for Frog and for Bandit... are closer in age that way. So I did that sort of on purpose, but she does look young. So I wanted to kind of honor it while still narrowing that age gap a little bit, so it wasn't quite so creepy.
I do buy the older casting as a rewrite.
Yeah,
I did the same thing.
Yeah,
I did too.
Anna Faris, I think, is the same age as Carrie Russell.
Yeah, just about.
I believe Elizabeth Banks is the same age.
So how old do you think Sally Field was when Smokey and the Bandit came out?
16.
Early 20s.
I don't know.
Yeah,
early
24 20s. Probably.
31.
8 years old.
Wow. What? 8 years old. Jodie Foster, everybody. Funny. Wow.
Yeah.
She looks 31. Like she
I know.
Like
I totally agree. I would have guessed like 22. But yeah, she was 31 when that came out.
Yep.
So good on her.
Yeah, indeed. Baby faces around.
And Burt Reynolds is only 41. So, I mean, really, it's a 10-year gap, but at that age, who cares?
It felt like 20, and it was weird.
He was 41 in the 70s?
He was born in 1936.
He's not a young man.
Holy.
Almost 80, Burt. Hang in there. All right, moving on to Andy. Andy, what is your pick, Mr. Umbridge? Just kidding. You can express Umbridge anytime. I will just happily prove
it. Let me just quick look at my pick and see how old she is. Oh, perfect. She's a perfect age.
53.
She's 42.
87.
How Meryl Streep was that old?
Is Meryl Streep?
Dang it.
Gloria Stewart from Titanic. What? Is that her name? Crap, I'm going to look at
it. Yes, it was.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I remember that.
I chose Betty White. Yep.
that joke landed because you got the name
Thank
right.
Thank you.
I chose Anna Kendrick.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
For reasons of age, I kind of went with, I'm totally kind of guessing here, but like physical size and stature, Sally Field doesn't look, especially in this role, very tall. She's just very petite. And that's always kind of how I pictured Anna Kendrick. And I love Anna Kendrick's
like
5'2", comedic timing.
I think.
Yeah. I love Anna Kendrick's comedic timing. And I think that she could definitely jump into, Jerry, you mentioned that kind of 0 to 100, you know, character. She kind of goes from nothing to all of a sudden she's just right there with Burt Reynolds. And I could see Anna Kendrick doing that. And just kind of becoming instantly comfortable with him, with a stranger, and going along for this adventure that she knows nothing about, and becoming a very willing player in that. So plus she's cute as a button, as Sally Field was in this movie. So
that's a good pick. I think that's most of all these picks. I think,
and she's only 30.
Yeah, most in the spirit of the original. Doesn't mean it's the best.
Yes,
it's
it
most
does.
In the spirit.
Yeah, my umbrage is she's too young.
Ooh.
Because Sally Field was, what, 31? And
yeah. She's only a whole year younger.
Barely 30.
No. Nice. Yes. No, that's a good pick, Andy. I like that. I think the energy is right on, and the like litheness. Just the scene where she's like talking about being a dancer and she's like doing the steps on the windshield.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't look at all weird that she was doing that. I mean, if I tried to do that, I would look like a turtle. It would be terrible.
And then they have this entire conversation about her thighs.
Yep.
And her legs, and it's just so absurd and weird.
Yep, that it is. And creepy. It's going to go back to that creepiness. Oh, Bert, you can do anything.
Oh, Bert.
All right, so for the role of Carrie, a.k.a. Frog, originally played by Sally Field, Lee went with Elizabeth Banks, Jer went with Anna Faris, Mark went with Karen Gillan, I went with Carrie Russell, and Andy went with Anna Kendrick. Last but not least is the role of Bandit. Andy, tell us about Bandit.
Bo Bandit Darville. Do we ever actually hear his last name?
I don't think so.
I don't think we probably do either. Whatever. Bo Bandit Darville, originally played masterfully by Burt Reynolds. Bandit is a legend. He is good at what he does, which is show off. He also bootlegs, races 18-wheelers, and smiles at the camera. As I said, Bandit and his mustache are legends.
Too true.
You know, that little wink at the camera that he does at one scene, which I think in any other movie, most any other movie, some movies, it would be just so stupid. But yeah. Burt Reynolds makes it. You're just like, oh,
that's true.
I'll hop in that car with you, Burt Reynolds. Take me away.
I forgot about the fourth wall thing. Yeah. Yep.
Just a little quick little aside. So I chose John Krasinski for this role, which is a little bit, you know, I think the obvious choices would have been Ryan Reynolds or Matthew McConaughey or Bradley Cooper. And those are all fine choices. So you guys can, when you make those picks, you can justify them. But I wanted this pick to not be quite so Burt Reynolds handsome, but to have that kind of wink at the camera handsome. And I think John Krasinski can do that. his role in Office. I mean, every role in Office, they had to do that stare at the camera for a few seconds kind of a thing. And I think he did that really well. He's a very, very funny guy. I think he has and could have the physical persona and presence to, presence is a better word, not persona, to occupy this role and kind of be that, for lack of a better term, he's just kind of a son of a bitch who doesn't care. And I think that Mr. Krasinski could play that. I will now field your umbrages.
I have only a little.
Yeah. And I have a mustache umbrage.
As in, could he grow one?
Or just how could he look even with a fake one? I think it would be a little...
And I'm not saying he's got to have facial hair. I'm not saying that's got to be a requisite for the role.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
Even if he doesn't have facial hair, he has to have chest hair.
That's true.
That can be drawn on. That's fine.
CG'd in.
Post.
Mark, I interrupted post. You. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I hope that he could bring the kind of self-assuredness to the role that Burt Reynolds did. And, I mean, John Krasinski has a great presence, and everybody loves him for it. But it's not the kind of "you're cocky, but I still adore you." It's not that, and I hope it would be that.
I'm going to point you to Away We Go, where he actually plays a character named Bert. Hey, it's a kind of
Bert Farlander.
You just trumped me. That's okay.
Yeah, I know this movie. I own it. And
I probably watched it with you, actually.
Actually, yeah, you probably did. But I mean, he's great in that movie. And he beards very well for that one.
And in that movie, that character where he's like a – he's some sort of insurance salesman. It's kind of a weird – they describe it in the movie and it's kind of weird, but whatever. But in his performance, he is like eternally optimistic and self-confident in this despite the face of kind of everything around him crumbling and looking very bleak. I remember that from that performance. Do you remember that, Mark, from that performance?
I do remember that.
Good. I wanted to make sure my reference was valid.
Yeah, and I like that as a reference point, but I still wanted to be cocky, and I've never seen John Krasinski be cocky.
Okay, well, I will trump
which
trump
is to his
saying,
credit in general, but not for this role.
Yeah,
I will say he is an actor, and I would expect him to do so.
I'll take that, though.
But I can use that argument every time my picks suck, so I'll just use it for this one.
any more cards to add to your house that you're building, Andy?
Oh, well, yeah, I got a few. He's tall.
Your pick doesn't suck, Andy. I would just say that if a woman or whomever were to be asked, like, who would you want to have your way with in a Firebird? I think John Krasinski would be lower third of the male actor population.
Wow. Lower third, really?
Lower third. I mean, of like an appropriate population.
Right,
not
next
of,
to Rain
know,
Wilson
Lloyd
and Steve Carell.
Wait, Lloyd Bridges is dead. That's like, a bad idea.
Were you comparing him to like Louis C.K. or something? Like, come on, what are we comparing against here?
I can guarantee you that more women would say Louis C.K. than John Krasinski.
Wow, yeah, all right.
I can guarantee you that.
I think the Firebird might be the clincher there. If you asked who would want to have your way with them in a Prius.
Okay, all right.
There
so
you
the,
go.
So the car made me. All right. So again, he's not the first choice. I like he's not the face that comes to your mind. You know, Karen Gillan style. I grant that. But I feel like the Bradley Cooper, Ryan Reynolds, who's the third guy I said? McConaughey, even though he's a little old. But he kind of
Jones.
He lent that creepy kind of thing to it. Like they're obvious choices. And I would see in a remake that if I heard about a remake with that coming out and one of those guys playing it, I'd probably say, you know what, it's not gonna be as good as I would expect it to be. Where if I heard Krasinski, we'd say, ooh.
The Krasinski ooh.
I will go see Smokey and the Humdrum.
All right, let's move along. Oh, it's time. It's time to get past Krasinski.
All right, sorry. Jerry.
That's good. It was not a bad pick, Andy. Yeah, we were just giving you a lot of crap.
No,
because you deserve it.
All right, Jer. Who'd you pick? Larry the Cable Guy?
Is it my turn already?
I dare you to say that.
Well, instead of Smokey and the Humdrum, I think the remake may as well be called Smokey and the Wingman, because I went with Joel McHale. I
thought you were going to say Val Kilmer.
No. Joel McHale, who has all of the arrogance and swagger that John Krasinski lacks. It was all given to Joel McHale. So
yeah,
I think
true.
He would... He's a natural successor. I think he's a pretty obvious choice. I picked him right away.
I like
and,
that.
And never look back.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I mean, I've seen a bit of Community, but I haven't seen a whole lot of them. But yeah, he's nearly got the swagger.
Yeah, I think he definitely has a swagger. A little bit acerbic for my tastes in this role. But
it could be. That would have to be toned down. He would have to be a little bit more charming.
A little bit more easygoing.
If you could smash Joel McHale and John Krasinski together, we might land right in the spot.
Let it go, Andy.
John Joel McKrinsky. It's perfect. And terrifying.
Folk legend.
Folk legend. Nice. Yeah, that's a good picture. I like that.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Ay, so ay. Joel McHale, who is currently the best pick we've heard for Bandit. Kyle, let's see if you can do better.
Sure. Well, Andy, this is coming to you, buddy.
Oh?
The role of Bandit is not somebody you take risks on. This is not a role that you put a Krasinski in. You don't put a McHale in this role.
Oh.
You put a McConaughey in this role. Because you know what? Do you know what? This role deserves McConaughey. And you know what? Bandit deserves McConaughey. The world deserves McConaughey as Bandit.
You know, they made that movie before. It was called Dazed and Confused.
Is Bandit.
I like that pick. I just thought it was, I almost picked him. I just thought it was a little on the nose, but
he's if ever there was a time to be on the nose,
he is up
this
the
is
nose.
The time. It's true. He is totally up the nose. You are absolutely correct. I'm just saying that there's no way that this should be ever anything other than the most swaggery, most sexy, most Trans Am driving-y guy that you can imagine. And if that's not Matthew McConaughey, I don't know who that is.
He is the most Trans Am driving-y guy I can
imagine.
That
is correct.
Most transaminist. Good pick, Kyle. Yes. It's a good pick.
Thank you. Thank you. I know it's super obvious, and I usually don't go super obvious, but I was like, you know what? This is my chance. This is my time.
But what is he, like 50-something?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No, it kind of does.
He gets older, it does a little and they bit. Stay the same age.
So mine are McConaughey and Kerry Russell. I could see that. There's still an age difference there, but it's not quite so grand as Reynolds and Sally Field.
Not quite so skeevy.
Yeah, it's less skeevy. I could totally buy that age-wise, and I think they would be great together. So that was sort of my measure, was those two together. So Matthew McConaughey. Mark, who you got?
Well, my choice for Bandit, I'm going a little bit more swaggery than John Krasinski, a little bit more charming than Joel McHale, and a little bit more young than McConaughey. I picked Chris Pratt.
He is Trans Am-y as well.
Yep, I can see him driving a Trans Am, totally.
His spaceship in Guardians is basically a Trans Am.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's really true.
I feel like it's a fairly obvious choice. And again, this is a pick that I made just off the top of my head, like who felt really right, and that's who I landed on pretty much immediately. I didn't consider anybody else because I immediately discarded the thoughts of McConaughey.
You should try bringing those back. See how it feels. Just try it on.
That Trans Am has sailed.
Off a bridge.
I think if you take away, you take his character from Parks and Rec and remove the dumbass part of it, you're pretty close.
I don't know what you have.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're pretty close with Star-Lord from Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that is really spot on. I mean, if it's a Trans Am instead of a spaceship, yeah, that's pretty right on.
Mm-hmm. But, well, no, never mind. Keep the lasers on the Trans Am.
Of course you should.
So it's Knight Rider.
Nice. That's a good one, Mark. I like that.
Thank you. Lee, let's move on to you.
Well, I wanted someone who really had that obvious Southern charm. So I went with someone who I think I've mentioned a couple times before. And that is Woody Harrelson.
Oh, so
nice.
McConaughey's other half, apparently.
the other successor.
Yeah. It would be a very different energy. It would be less of that kind of sexiness and less of the swagger, but I would love the manicness of it, kind of the insanity of it. Like, what the hell is he going to do next?
Yeah.
Like, you would buy him just jumping a bridge because it's like, well, he's mad. Like, what is he going to do? He's just going to jump a bridge, right? He just does all these crazy things. So, yeah, that's awesome. I like that.
And if he repeated his performance as Tallahassee from Zombieland, I would be all in. I would buy it.
Oh, man. Yes, that is a great, great point.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Both him and McConaughey, if it was that era, you know, the Sahara Zombieland era, I would go with either one of them. I just think they're getting up there. They're long.
Yeah, in I the would. Tooth. I think McConaughey was perfect 10 years ago.
And you're wrong.
As was Woody Harrelson.
I would love to see Woody as the sheriff. Like if McConaughey is the bandit and Woody was the sheriff. Oh man, that's magic right there. True Detective season 2, right there.
I actually considered both Woody and McConaughey for Snowman.
Mm. Oh. Hmm.
Yep. Those would both be really good. All right. Wow. It's been a long time since we've had a good barbing session like that. That was nice. Good work, everybody. Hope it was fun to listen to. I think it would be. So for Bandit, originally played Swaggerly and Transamily, that's right, by Burt Reynolds. Andy went with John Krasinski. Jer went with Joel McHale. I went with Matthew McConaughey. Mark went with Chris Pratt, and Lee went with Woody Harrelson. Now we have our minor characters, first of which is Junior. Mark, tell us about Junior.
Yes, sirree. Junior is the son of Sheriff Justice, the betrothed of Frog, and is a big dope. he's very dedicated to holding the hat on his father's head, and that's something, unless it's not. So for my Junior to go along with my Sheriff Justice, who was Tom Hanks, I picked Colin Hanks.
Yes.
Frankly, I think it's perfect. And I think that Colin Hanks is actually a great actor. He's a great comedian, and I think he could do the dopey thing and make it work really, really well.
Yeah, that's a great pick, irrespective of Tom as the sheriff.
Oh,
it would be perfect with Tom, and it would be nearly as perfect just on his own. Yeah,
I'm gonna
that's
punch
awesome.
Your mama in the mouth.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Okay. Nice. On that note, let's hear from Andy about an Enos, big or small.
Oh, I only talk about big Enoses.
Eni?
Enoses? All right. Big Enos, originally played by Pat McCormick. Big Enos's word is gold, which doesn't really impress Bandit. He has a gambling problem, questionable taste in beer, and maybe an eating disorder? It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Big Enos was big. Pat McCormick was big. I wanted someone who maybe wasn't quite as big in physical stature, but was bigger in personality. And also, I didn't really get or believe the age difference between Pat McCormick and Paul Williams as father-son.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yes, it matters. It matters. I went with Christopher Lloyd.
What? Wow.
I would love to put Christopher Lloyd in an outfit like Big Enos's. Just make it loud and brash and everything. And then just let Christopher Lloyd kind of, you know, uncork for a while. And there you go. The best Big Enos ever. The biggest Enos.
Good work.
This gets funnier every time you say it.
Oh my god. Yeah, that would be just insane, and I would love it.
So now I'm really excited to hear Kyle's pick for Little Enos.
Me too.
Michael J. Fox.
That's what Andy said. We were texting earlier, and he said, you picked Michael J. Fox, and you. I did not pick Michael J. Fox. However, I picked somebody different. Originally played by Paul Williams, Little Enos is the second most unfortunately named character in the film, second, of course, to Big Enos, who is his papa. Not much is known about Little Enos except that he lives up to his moniker, carries a whole lot of cash in those tight trousers of his. So Paul Williams is a wholly unique man. I adore him. I just think that he is like a treasure in the world. I mean, he wrote Rainbow Connection, for crying out loud. I mean, like, this guy, like, he has given more to the world of music than most people have. You know, there's very few people that have contributed to the way he has. And he's a weird looking dude, and he's tiny. So it's like, there's I can't think of anybody today that is quite the same as Paul Williams. So it was just trying to find somebody that I think matched the tone a little bit. So of course, I did a Google search for short male actors, started there. That's a great place to start. And was surprised at how many I found. And the person that I landed on is Seth Green. He's like 5'5", I think, 5'6", maybe. He's not super tall, maybe 5'7".
I think he is a short man.
Yeah.
He is pretty short. And I think his sort of, he would have swagger until Big Enos said something, and then he would be like, sorry, Papa. You know, like, I think he could do that super well.
He would just be Scott from Austin Powers.
Basically, yes, exactly. Yep, that is spot on. Yeah, so yeah, Little Enos, Seth Green.
Yes.
He's no Paul Williams, but no one is, and God bless him for it.
I think it's a great pick.
I love that one.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, on to Cletus. Jer, tell us about Cletus.
Oh, boy. Cletus Snowman Snow is a good friend to Bandit and a fellow truck driver. He is a wisecracking, constantly smiling, good-natured son of the South, and seems to enjoy every minute of this adventure, even when he's chasing his hound dog through a pond or getting tossed out of a bar for seemingly no reason at all. Even when surrounded by Kojaks with Kodaks and Evel Knievel sneaking up his back door, he's still got time for a wisecrack and so much CB lingo you need a translator.
Nice.
Snowman, how are your vocal cords?
Well, my vocal cords are fine. I'm a little worried about Fred now. He's been gnawing everything in the cab of this truck, barking and screaming. I think he's turned into a stalk of bananas. Come back.
What's your 20?
About 16 miles this side of Mississippi.
Whoa, hold it.
I just passed another Kojak with a Kodak. This place crawling with bears. Where the hell are you? Come back.
I'm still trying to get rid of that Texas County Mountie. I don't know what the hell he wants.
You know what he wants. I mean, how would you like to be the dude that handcuffs a legend?
Listen, give me 5 minutes. We're going to put some moves on that mother. I'll meet you at Old Miss.
Well, you better hurry or we can just kiss that money goodbye. You understand that?
I'll read you loud and clear. 10-4.
You got the one snowman I'm eastbound and down.
Jerry Reed is, if we throw around the word treasure, Jerry Reed was a treasure.
Yes.
Both for his singing, songwriting, and guitar playing, but also for his acting ability. He just was, especially in this movie, but in many of the movies he was in, and a lot of them were with Burt Reynolds, but he was just always looked like he was just having a blast. And he was just constantly smiling through this entire movie and throwing out words that I've never heard of with CB lingo. And I have no idea half of what he's saying most of the time in this movie. And it's just fun to watch him. And then I always think back to Scooby-Doo right after that and Pretty Mary Sunlight. And he's just a great guy. So I was trying to come up with somebody that was going to come similarly pedigreed as far as the musicianship of it. Maybe they're going to write a little bit of this of the soundtrack, but I wanted somebody that was going to be a nice Southern drawl, like kind of cowboy, rednecky kind of son of the South. So I went with Hank Williams III, who, unless you like punk/ rebel country, you probably have not heard of him much.
Punkabilly, big time.
Punkabilly.
There's some death metal thrown in there too.
He's a really talented musician, but I've seen him in a couple different. He was in a documentary called The Wonderful World of the Whites about this family in West Virginia, and a couple other things he's been involved in project wise. And he's a pretty interesting cat, and he just embodies a lot of the same things from a country music standpoint that Jerry Reed did. So that's who I went with. And if you look at him, he just looks the part too.
Yeah.
He's covered in tattoos.
Yeah. He's a little dark, I think, for this role, it's not that I don't think he can do it, but man, he is a dark dude.
He can be. Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Mark Anderson, with whom I worked at Capella many moons ago, went to a Hank the Third show. And the next day he was like, "Dells, you wouldn't believe it." Like, the first act was just like good rockabilly, you know, upbeat kind of that punkabilly stuff. And then they had like a 10-minute intermission and the same band came out, only they weren't wearing cowboy hats. And then they played like total, like screaming death metal, same band, same singer, totally different repertoire. I was like, wow,
awesome.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. To have one person that can do that. So he's certainly got the range for it. I'd like to see it. That's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to close out here with Lee, and I can't wait to hear this one.
Well, I guess I'm casting the car.
Yeah.
Played by a Pontiac Trans Am, which is a muscle car from the 70s and 80s. Fast yet inconspicuous, it becomes another character in the story. I wanted a car that was common enough that there would be enough of them on the road. It wouldn't attract a lot of attention, but it would also be conceivably fast enough to outrun the police. So I picked a Ford Mustang GT.
Nice.
Bam. Mm.
That's a beautiful car.
Yeah.
I figured fast.
Yep. Common enough. And I think it's something that Bandit would drive.
Totally. Nice. Yep. That's a good pick. I like it. It's worthy of the original, which is saying something.
A nice cherry red convertible.
Ooh.
Maybe a little too flashy.
Can you even get anything with T-tops anymore?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think Corvettes still have them.
Oh, that's a good call.
But yep.
You could probably get it aftermarketed.
They could have the opening scene be he takes the Mustang into like a chop shop and they just put T-tops on it.
Yep.
Because apparently that's really important to him.
When he's handing out money, when Little Enos is giving him the cash, he's like, oh, and I need to add T-tops. All right. Here's another $2,000. All right. So that wraps up the minor characters. And with that, this first half of our discussion of Smokey and the Bandit. If you would like to find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast or blog on the Math is Hard Network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you can find show notes where we include links to all of the actors, actresses, and now, hey, cars included in the show that we just discussed here. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at username mathishardnet. So check us out there. Our next episode will be released on May 18th, where we will be discussing the plot and filmmaking changes we would make in our remake of Smokey and the Bandit. So, gentlemen, until the next time when we hit you up on the CB with the 10-4 good buddies and the what-whats and what-nots, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Come back.
Oh, back now.